36. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please do be seated. We've probably all got one of these really annoying little devices in our homes. You'll probably find it in the bedroom, next to the bed. Hands up if you've got an alarm clock. Hands up if you need an alarm clock. Most people. You need an alarm clock to get you to school. What's it like when that alarm clock rings? Horrible. Please give me another 5 minutes. Let me turn over. I want more sleep. Do I really have to go to school today? Or there's another temptation. Shall I go down to the phone? Shall I call my boss? Shall I put on my sick voice? Because we've all got a sick voice, haven't we? I'm really ill. I can't come in today. There's always a temptation when the alarm clock goes off to ignore it and try and do something else. And the people that Jesus was referring to in that gospel reading were also people who were trying to do something else when God had told them that the flood was coming. And Genesis tells us that the people were corrupt in God's sight and the earth was filled with violence, and God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all God, flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. Genesis chapter 6. So God decided to put an end to it, except that Noah and his household were righteous before the Lord. So God commanded Noah to make his famous ark and board the ark with his household and the animals to keep their offspring alive on the face of the earth after the floods. So Noah got busy building his ark, and it was a huge, great, big, massive thing, 450 feet long, about 5 stories tall, 75 feet across. Just imagine what the neighbors were saying when they saw Noah building this ark. But what they weren't saying is, Noah, help me build an ark for me and my family. We want to be safe from the flood too. No one was saying that. And to the world, what Noah was doing was a complete waste of time and money. People thought that him building the ark was completely pointless. And sometimes, isn't that how the church can be viewed? A bit of a waste of time and money. We can spend our time doing something a bit more worthwhile than worship and prayer. When the alarm clock goes off on a Sunday morning, do we really have to get up and go to church? Do we want to get up and go to church? Aren't there some more worthwhile things in the world on which we might want to spend our money? It's always tempting to think that or say it. Just it might have been tempting for those people to say rude things about Noah's ark. But of course, when the flood came, the ark simply wasn't a waste of time or money. It looked like the most important thing ever built, because it was. And suddenly, Noah doesn't look ridiculous building this massive, great big boat. Instead, he looks very wise. The ark isn't a waste of time and money. It becomes a lifeboat, the only thing between life and death, the one structure that survived the mighty flood sent by God. So surely the most important thing that was ever built. So is the church really a waste of time and money? Or is the church the most important thing ever built? Those are the only reasonable choices, perhaps. The church is either the most important thing in the world, or it's a complete waste of time and money. Just like Noah before us, we who are here are getting ready for something. This is Advent. It's a season of preparation. We're getting ready, but what are we getting ready for? We're not getting ready for a flood. God promised never again. We are, of course, getting ready for Christmas, but that's not what the season of Advent is really all about. What we're really getting ready for is the final coming of Jesus. We're building the church in order to get ready for his coming again. We need to be waiting. We need to be ready. When that alarm clock goes, this is one that we can't ask for 5 minutes of extra time for, because that simply won't happen. But before Jesus comes, as we eat and drink and go through our daily lives, yes, indeed, the church can seem like a waste of time and money. But we're all here today because we believe otherwise, don't we? We know that the church is here to help us to get ready for Jesus' return to earth. And we're all helping each other. I help you, you help me. It's a relationship. We work together to help each other get ready. But it's not just us. We're here to help the world get ready too. We're here to play our part. So just as the ark was built by Noah to get ready for the flood, we are building the church on earth to get ready for Jesus' promised return. So when I think of that need to keep awake, as we heard in that first reading, maybe sometimes it's a bit like being behind the steering wheel of your car. That's the time when you really need to concentrate and be aware of what's going on around you. You've got to stay awake. And sometimes it just seems to get a little bit more difficult to do that because we've got sat-nav, we've got cruise control, and we've got all these little conveniences in our cars today that sometimes just make it easier or a bit more tempting just to slightly lose that bit of focus. And we can travel down the road with the cruise control set, the sat-nav telling us where to go, and we let our minds wander. We can be easily pulled into not paying enough attention to what we're doing, where we're going. And back in the time of Noah, people were arguably living on cruise control. They weren't paying attention to anything but their own lives until the flood came and swept them all away. Only Noah was ready for the flood, and everybody else was caught out by surprise. And in the same way, Jesus says in that gospel reading today that his return is going to catch many people out by surprise. Many people will be living still on cruise control, not paying attention to their spiritual lives, to their relationship with God. And then suddenly Jesus is going to come back, and they'll be completely surprised. And as we look around the world today, it's hard not to believe that too many of us are living on cruise control. We're just trying to stay on the road, keep awake, get to our destination on time and in one piece. We may be so busy getting ready for other things, like Christmas, for example, that we forget to get ready for Christ. So Jesus offers us today our annual wake-up call, that rude sound of the alarm clock. It's our reminder to get ready, not just for Christmas, but for Jesus' return. Because he says the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Keep awake, says Jesus, for you don't know on what day your Lord is coming. So this is our time to keep awake, get ready to watch and wait. And it's a time for us to help rebuild the ark that's known on the church, to get on board it and to invite everybody else to come on board with us. And we are waiting for a flood in a way, but this is a wonderful flood that we're waiting for. This is God's forgiveness, God's grace, and God's mercy, because there is another crucial difference between Noah's flood and the return of Jesus. The return of Jesus is nothing to fear, but it's something to eagerly anticipate, something to get ready for, and something to look forward to with joy. So let's get ready, let's keep awake, and let's pray that this flood comes soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.